Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Get out. Out. Out.
Be truthful.
I don't know if you heard that or not. Masterstroke wanted to come on here. I'm like, no, the show is booked today. This is what I got to deal with, Nick. And Masterstroke is not allowed to predict the Buffalo Bills until we get to September. Let's keep the show on track here. Joining us here is our friend Brian Koziel. As you pointed out, Nick, a Brockport grad. Did he teach you?
He taught me one day, but not in Brockport. I actually got to sit down with him. He's the, of course, he's the voice of the Buffalo Sabres, of course.
So. Well, we're kind of like provincial here in the sports bar. Anybody from Rochester, we claim him as our own. Can we claim you, Brian? Is that possible?
I had a very good time at Brockport. I have no problem with calling myself a quasi-Rochesterian.
All right, there we go. Brian Koziel, the host for Tea to Green. Okay, so like pretend nobody saw anything today and they're just getting in their car. What happened? And for a guy who owns the course record, this was supposed to be the shining moment for Rory McIlroy. What a nightmare start there. What happened on that first hole, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's the story of the day. If you didn't see anything, it's not even necessarily of what's at the top, it's what's at the bottom. I mean, you've got two of the biggest names going in this tournament that had disastrous days in Rory and in Tiger Woods. But to start with Rory in the first hole, yeah, almost everyone is hitting an iron off the first tee, and he pulls his left, and it goes into an area that, to me, I don't think should be out of bounds, but what the course has is what's called an internal out of bounds. It's an area, I guess, where they're kind of have two sets of spectator areas from one hole and another hole back to back. So they call it OB. I don't really think it should be by the rule, but it is. And McIlroy had to re-hit his tee shot. So he's already at three and, coming in, I mean, this was such a historic event. The fact that it's going to Ireland, it's been back in Ireland for the first time since 1951. And, I mean, Rory is probably the most successful global present athlete for Northern Ireland. So, I mean, this is, this is his big moment. He says he's been talking about this, thinking about this for years. All the family and friends and things and, to undoubtedly think that could pressure have gotten to him, I mean, whether he wants to own up to it or not, it would be only natural. I can't imagine what had to have been going through his head this week. He's the betting favorite. Everybody's cheering for him and all that. So he pulls that shot, gets off to a bad start, takes an eight on the first hole. I mean, that's just an absolute disaster. And there are little pieces along the way that added up. On that hole, he had like a three-footer for triple bogey, missed it, took a quadruple bogey. So, add another one. Then kind of got himself together. He played two under for a stretch of about 10 holes. But then on 16, a par three, has a real makeable par, maybe 5 feet. And it just slides by, and then he goes back to tap it in, doesn't take his time, and it rings out. So that's kind of another low-light moment for him. So he three putts from like 5 feet and takes the double, and then on 18 is in trouble, hits his approach shot, which, by the way, had already been his fourth shot on the par four because he had had an errant tee shot. He had to chip out, hits it basically into the bleacher area on a huge mound, can't get up and down, and now, bookends an eight start and a seven finish and a disastrous 79. And oof. I mean, he's virtually out of the tournament. He's in the bottom 10 and has to shoot another, maybe one of those like 61s to have a shot to even play the weekend.
Wow. Brian Koziel, WGR, our guest here. If nerves were an excuse today for Rory McIlroy, could we say maybe health? I mean, when you look at Tiger Woods and you see him wincing, is there more to the story in your opinion, Brian, when it comes to the game for Tiger Woods right now?
I think health's number one. I think that's definitely, I mean, he said it afterwards. Tiger doesn't really like to, I don't think he's going to embellish if he's hurt to maybe, you know, lessen the blow of him been, of him not playing well. He said afterward, look, I was tight. I never really felt good. I felt sore. There were shots out there I even knew I couldn't hit. I had to hit other ones. And he said, this is just going to how it's going to be go, how it's going to have to go going forward. So, I mean, I guess just the way his back is. Nick Faldo on the broadcast made a good point, and I thought it was excellent. He said, look at the rounds and look at the tournaments this year that Tiger has played well in. The Masters, it was a very, very warm weekend. Remember, they had this threat of heat and thunderstorms, and the humidity was high. He played very well there. At the Memorial, at Jack's tournament, that was probably his other second best tournament of the year. The weather was warm. It was almost near 90 in May in Columbus, Ohio. He played great. But Pebble Beach, cooler temperatures, really couldn't get going. The PGA, cooler temperatures in May at Bethpage, couldn't get going. Here it's cold. He said he thinks that his back really is not going to react well to colder weather. And the fact that he needs that, you know, he needs to have that back loose. And the fact that he feels tight, he said his swing gets shorter, which is why he's inaccurate. And Tiger, just as much as Rory was bad off the tee, was just as bad off the tee today. And, you know, McIlroy is sitting in 150th place and Woods not much better at 144th. And it's too bad because, I mean, those are two of the headliners. Those are, you probably, if you ask Northern Irelanders who are going to this tournament, who would you like to see? And that's probably one and two. And they both likely won't play the weekend.
Mm. Brian Koziol, our guest here, Tee to Green Show. Brian, another down note today, and this is somebody nobody thought would be in contention, but when you see a par five, somebody put up a 15, now that was changed later to 13, about David Duval. This was a topic we had earlier in the week. Like, David Duval, at this point, getting these exemptions, anybody, there are players with exemptions you know won't win. Where do you come down on this? Is it important for the sport to invite all these guys back, even though they don't have a chance, or would you rather see the best field possible?
Well, I feel like I could argue both sides of it. David Duval is a well-known player, a former world number one, and a former winner of this tournament. So there's the argument for. Now, the argument against it maybe is stronger in the sense that you're right. His game is nowhere near of where any of these higher caliber players are. He, along with some other past champions we've seen in this event in the past, have put up some really, really high numbers. And I just wonder, you know, for golf's sake, for Duval's sake, is it better to see David Duval out there and put up these astronomical numbers in the 80s and have these guys, well, they get their warm, you know, applause, and it's nice to see a recognizable name, but probably there's a golfer out there in the world right now that maybe is ranked, you know, 100 and whatever in the world, and this could be a career-changing week for him, and he's sitting at home watching. So, to me, I feel like I understand these big championships, they're trying to get as much name recognition as possible to draw people's interest in. But there's a difference right now, I feel like, between inviting, you know, maybe somebody like Tiger Woods, who I think still can compete, and then someone like David Duval. That just seems like a token, you know, to me, if I'm Duval, it's almost like if I know I'm going to go out there and embarrass myself, I would almost just rather pass and let some other young kid play and get an opportunity to maybe change his life.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I can't fault him for, you know, taking the chance on that. And Brian, as you know, golf is kind of a funny sport. You know, all of a sudden you're feeling it, and it's so mental. But if it goes haywire, and I can't think of a worse thing today. At first, when I saw that 15, and they changed it to 13, I don't know the reason why that was changed. But regardless, David Duval with a 91 today. Brian Koziol, our guest here in the sports bar. On the other end, there's Brooks Koepka, only two shots back. Another debate Nick and I were having on the show earlier before you came on, Brian. Did you have a problem with Koepka not returning Tiger's text? Because when we talk about why hasn't the public warmed up to Brooks Koepka, he seems to be a guy that, hey, he's going to do his own thing. And he really doesn't care what you think.
Doesn't it sound like something that Tiger might have done to somebody else in his heyday?
Yeah.
He might have gotten a text from some other player, and Tiger said, I'm not going to, why would I give you an advantage? You know, and Koepka, the reason a lot of people had said maybe that Tiger wanted to play a practice round with Brooks Koepka was that Koepka's caddy knows this course as good as probably any caddy that's out there. He's played this course many times. kept his caddy, by the way, a very, very good player. Probably could have made a serious run to try to play the PGA Tour, but he's kept his caddy now and obviously doing very well. But I think that was part of the reason. And now Tiger kind of joked about it in his press conference when he had said, yeah, I texted Brooksy about playing. And he goes, I haven't heard from him. And he kind of had a little chuckle with it just playing. But yeah, Koepka just does what he wants to do. He's very blunt in his answers. Some of them become unpopular and might have rubbed people the wrong way, even with this thing. But it's working for him. So I guess you can't have a problem. Whatever approach to golf and outside of golf and his life right now, it is working because he's playing as good as anybody. And I would probably put him as the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, no question. When we talk about links-style golf, and if I can kind of take it back here just a little bit, the lens here, just kind of give us an overview. Who might this course benefit when you're talking about links golf? We picture the big field. We're going to sit and watch it this weekend. We've never seen this course, Royal Portage. So links-style, this course, who might this benefit there, Brian?
Well, normally, I would say links golf is about avoiding trouble. But this course, I wonder if it, even though it has the look of links style, if it plays just a tad more closer to maybe the Americanized version of links golf that maybe we would see. You know, there are certain golf courses in Western New York that have tried to kind of build themselves to look kind of like links style. But when I think about links style golf, I think about position off the tee. I think about bunkers that are very penalizing all over the place. I think about these fairways that aren't perfect, that have bumps and hills and all over the place, and you might hit a perfect shot and it might roll somewhere that ends up being penalizing, and it's just not your fault. It's just kind of how it goes. And the greens, I think about these big greens and guys being very creative in terms of how they handle their short game, and slower greens too compared to what we see in the States. I think you do have the slower greens here. The greens look perfect today. Guys that are aggressive putters, and that would include Brooks Koepka, I think like putting on these greens because they can really go at holes, realizing that the chance of three putting is a little less. But this course has a lot less bunkerage than most of the Royal and Ancient courses that are in the rotation for the Open Championship. There's only 59 bunkers. Most of the courses we see, like Muirfield, Carnoustie, St. Andrews, and some of these other ones, they're in around the 125 to 150 bunker range. So there's probably, you know, an extra 2 to 3 bunkers on every hole on some of these other courses, the Open, which is usually why you see guys don't just bomb it away. So I'm wondering if the longer hitters, because there's less maybe penalizing areas, are more apt to take advantage of it and hit driver more often. And lo and we have at the top, J.B. Holmes, one of the longest hitters on tour. We've got, you know, Brooks Koepka, we know who hits it super far. Look who else is sitting there. Tony Finau, John Rahm. I mean, you said name 10 guys that hit it a mile. There's four of five of them right there. So I'm wondering if that's playing into it. There's less bunkerage, maybe a little less trouble. These guys are able to take advantage of their length a little more.
Yeah, I mean, and what surprised, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert here. Like, right now, you have 70 guys that are within 6 strokes here of the leader. So, if anything, today, very few golfers played themselves out of this today.
Yeah, big name-wise, probably just the two we talked about, and Phil Mickelson, who's 5 over. I mean, these are the, unfortunately, 3 popular players probably are out of it, but you're right, there's so many. And here's what also is probably good about the fact that if you have a guy that you're rooting for or pulling for that's kind of in that middle or whatever, I think you're absolutely still in it because the weather can change here. I mean, during today's round, I'm sitting there watching, and in the course of a half hour, it looks like it's like hurricane-force wind. These guys have like 6 rain layers on, and then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, the sun's out and it's blue skies. Like, it's very weird. And supposedly, just looking at the forecast, it kind of looks like it's going to kind of play out this way. I know on Sunday they said maybe the winds will really pick up, which could make it interesting. But also, this is another thing I think that maybe lends itself to having guys that are farther back come up. The Open Championship, unlike the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, they don't send them off the front and the back. Like tomorrow, there won't be guys teeing off 10. Everybody goes off 1. Which means the tee times are really, really spread out. So the difference between teeing off early in the morning or teeing off later in the day is a huge gap. I mean, it could be a 10-hour difference, which means the weather could be extremely different. So if you're a guy that gets the luck of the draw of the weather, that gap that maybe you have, if you're sitting in 50th right now to the guy at the top, if you can get yourself a lucky spot with the weather draw, you could make that up rather quickly.
Brian, your thoughts on, just going to this course, first time in how many years? Not in our lifetime, only the second time this course. And I would think the majority of golfers before this year had never played this course. The idea of intel and the idea of having a good caddy. And I read how Graham McDowell has I think it's his brother that's a groundskeeper there, and how that, well, he's in it at two over, but intel on a golf course like this, is that very important, or is the information so out there today? Is it like fantasy football? Like 20 years ago, fantasy football, you had sleepers. There's no such thing as a sleeper anymore. So the idea that McDowell and others had an upper hand going into this tournament, knowing that they had some intel, true or false on that?
I like your analogy of fantasy football. Yeah, I think more people know more than ever before. It's easier to do well in fantasy football. I'm not saying that playing this course is easy, but the info coming in is easier. I mean, these information that these guys can get now with these green books and slopes and tenants and, how a slopes toward the hole with pin position, it definitely is more and more every year. And I also think that's partially why we see slow play, becoming a worse problem on the PGA Tour, is that guys have information overload sometimes with all this. But I think you're right. I mean, some of it might just be a confidence thing. You have a caddy that really knows his way around. I still think there's a little luck involved, in the sense that there are just random hills and pockets of trouble that you can find yourself in. And sometimes the ball rolls the right way and sometimes it rolls the wrong way. So I don't necessarily know. These guys are so good. I feel like they play, a couple of practice rounds on this. They take their notes. And when these guys do their practice rounds, if you've never attended a tournament at a practice round, I mean, their caddies are, they throw down little plates where they think all the possible pin conditions or the pin placements could be. They putt to all the different spots on the green. They've got their green book showing all the different slopes and how it breaks one way or the other. I got to think that most of these guys are coming in pretty prepared, and they talk to each other. Players, I think, are friendlier more now. Caddies talk to each other. It's so much more easier to communicate. So I'll go more along the lines of still, I think, just, yes, it's helpful to have the experience. But, I mean, as we saw today, I mean, McIlroy's got just as much experience at this course as just about anybody, and it did no good.
Yeah, the Tee to Green show. We'll tell you how you can listen to that. I got another question here for Brian, because for the casual golf fan this week, oh, wait a second, this is the last one? Everything seems out of order. No, this is the new order, the PGA Championship. That already happened, if you weren't paying attention. Brian, your thoughts on the change here, how that was received, and can we get the PGA Championship in 2023 to get pushed back to August? Because when it was here in Rochester, when the PGA Championship was going on in May, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if it was in Rochester this year, people would be crushing us for the weather here. So I'm a little concerned about 2023, Brian.
I am too. It was snowing, I know, in the first week of May, right?
Yeah.
The course, 1 week later on the calendar for the senior PGA, when I was there, I thought looked spectacular. So kudos to the grounds crew and the staff at Oak Hill for getting that ready on what was a really, really tough spring. Now, I know Oak Hill has a little better drainage system than my backyard and your backyard probably has, so they do have a little help with that. The course, the trees aren't fully full, in bloom. Everything you hope is going to be thick, and you hope you just get a good spring. I know that they talk about the build out, and what I mean by that is preparing for the course in terms of getting bleachers set up and corporate tents set up and concessions and all these things that they have to bring in, equipment and cranes to set up all the stands for the cameras and all that sort of stuff. They start those things in like February. So who knows what it's going to be like for that year when it comes to Rochester, but to go back to your point, it seems logistically like a good idea. You have one big event on the golf calendar every month, but I feel like I'm not ready for big time golf to just disappear after this week. If you follow the FedEx Cup playoffs, I guess that's there for you. But I like majors, and it seems like it shouldn't be over already. The fact here, especially in Western New York, like it feels like summer's just getting going. So
yeah,
I thought it was a good idea. I get where they're going with it, but I don't know if I love it too much. The one negative I feel like I have noticed, and I don't know if this is just because it's new this year, but because the majors are a month apart, I feel like the tournaments in between, we've seen less big names participate because they're doing their prep for the major. They're going to location of the major. Now, this one even more so because it's overseas. A lot of guys do take 2 or 3 weeks to come over. Some of them play the Irish Open or the Scottish Open. But, I mean, the last 3 weeks in between Pebble Beach and this event, I mean, if you watch the regular PGA Tour events, it was filled with a lot of no-names. And I don't know if some of the, you know, quote-unquote, regular tour stops are benefiting from this schedule because the big guys like Koepka, Woods, some of these other guys just, they're like, well, I'll play the major, take a week off of rest, then I'll go practice and work on things, then I'll go travel to the tournament and get ready. And it's like, you know, the events in between are the ones that I feel like are maybe getting hurt with this new calendar.
Brian Colziel, the host of Tee to Green, which you can listen on the radio.com app. Just punch up WGR. What time is that on coming up on Saturday, Brian? Tell us what you got lined up for.
2 hours this week for majors week, like we normally do, 7 to 9 a.m. And I'm working hard for this one. We're driving to Bradford, Pennsylvania for a course that I've never been to. I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's Penn Hills Club in Bradford. There's a big Western New York PGA professional event there on Monday and Tuesday. So for any of you that work with a local Western New York PGA Tro, wish them good luck. I know a lot of them are playing on Monday and Tuesday. It's their biggest like monetary prize of the year. So it's a big tournament. So we're going there to talk a little bit about that. But, of course, a lot on the Open Championship, which we'll be focusing on for 2 hours on Saturday morning.
Yeah, of course, Brian, also your intermission and post-game show host for the Sabres. Like, I got to sneak in one Sabre question. Ristolainen, are we going to, like, is anything happening here? It's kind of the big topic 2 weeks ago, and then we come back from the fourth, and then not so much, and I don't know. Are we just going to have Risto at the start of training camp here in September?
I don't know. I don't have a good... I feel like I'm still counting. How many D do we have that can play the right side?
Yeah.
7, 8, 9. Like, holy cow. I mean, there has to be some sort of decision made because there's too many players. And unfortunately, Jason Botchel doesn't have all-star level players other than Ross Stelling. But there's just too many defensemen right now. Whether you even want to go side specific. I know that the right side even is loaded up right now. But even just in general, there's too many that are quality enough to play in the NHL, but also expendable at the same point. And Zach Bogosian's got a big contract. I know Rasmus Ristolainen's name is a popular one, but Zach Bogosian's got a big contract. Jake McCabe has a semi-okay contract that might be attractive to another team. I like Jake McCabe maybe more than the average fan does. I think I'd be disappointed if they got rid of him, but he could be attractive to another team. And, if, you know, I think ideally, if somehow they could move Bogosian where that contract could be taken, that would be something good. But if Ristolainen goes, he's a good player. I know that he had a very, very poor second half of the year last year, as did the whole team. To me, the trade cannot be Ristolainen for draft picks or Ristolainen for prospects. To me, it has to be for a top six forward, a guy that can come in right away and play without any question. Not even a guy that's like, well, he's 22 with a lot of potential. Like, no, I need to know who he is. I need to know if he scored 20 or more goals in this league, and he needs to go in and play in the top six right away. Otherwise, I don't think it's worth doing the trade to get rid of a player of Ristolainen's caliber.
Totally agree. Brian Colziel, host of Tee to Green, which you'll hear Saturday morning on WGR on the radio.com app. Brian, enjoy the rest of the Open, and really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, guys. You got it. Always like coming on. Appreciate it.
Brian Colziel, our guest here in the sports bar. We'll get.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.